page 11. And we're continuing our study of what we confess together as Christians, what we believe in the core doctrines of the Christian faith. And it's very important that we know these and understand these. And tonight we come to Lord's Day 4 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And this was put in question and answer format to teach us and our children what these core doctrines are. And we're still in the section here, which is going to fit very nicely tonight into the sermon. We're in the section on our depravity. And so let's begin with question answer 9. I'll ask the question and then ask you to answer with the answer provided there. But doesn't God do man an injustice by requiring in his law what man is unable to do? No. God created man with the ability to keep the law. Man, however, tempted by the devil, in reckless disobedience, robbed himself and his descendants of these gifts. So this is a very important question. You know, does God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what man is unable to do? And notice it takes us back to the pre-fall state. That's a very important place to go in this discussion. If you were to think about this morning's sermon and what I talked about in life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and domestic tranquility, where could we speak of those things? Before the fall, right? Before the fall, he had domestic tranquility. Before the fall, there was world peace. Before the fall, there was liberty. There was, as a matter of fact, if we want to put it very clearly tonight, there was free will, wasn't there? Everyone debates and says, well, what do you mean we don't have a free will? The free will that people are talking about and they think that man has today belongs to the discussion of what happened and what God created man with at the beginning before the fall. Notice the confession says, he had the ability to keep the law. That's free will. He got it, didn't he? He had the ability to honor God's law. There was a covenant of works there. God said, do this and live. And so there it was. What happened, though? He was tempted by the devil and in reckless disobedience robbed himself and his descendants of these gifts. So what happened? Well, before the fall, he was able not to sin. After the fall, as the old theologian said, he's not able not to sin. See? So it's a very important distinction that's made here of what that pre-fall state was like. And the question that we're dealing with then is God created us good. God put us in that, gave us that covenant at the beginning. He created us in true righteousness and holiness, as we considered last time. We had the will to do what is right. And what happened? We fell. So the question then that comes to us is, okay, does God lighten his load because of that? Does God lighten his requirements because we just messed up? Does God say, well, I know they can't do it. I know, I understand, I'm an understanding God, and I'm just going to turn away my face from it. And the answer to that is no, God does not wink at sin at all. God takes sin very seriously, and that's the great problem today that people don't understand. They don't understand how great the problem is. People will generally say, yeah, we're sinners. But it's one thing to say that you've fallen off the first story of the Linden URC, right? Hit the pavement, you're going to get up. Scraped up, but you're going to pull yourselves up. It's quite another thing to fall off the Eiffel Tower and hit the ground, isn't it? There's no life after that. No spiritual life. And so the question that we're dealing with then is, what does God think about this? If that pre-fall state, Adam had the choice, and Adam had the ability to keep the law, and he didn't do it, not God's fault, reckless disobedience plunged us all into sin, and now our will is bound to what? The dead human nature. You don't, if I put in front of my child chocolate cake or squash, what do you think they're going to go for? Well, you all know it's going to be chocolate cake. Why don't they want the squash? It has no appeal to their nature. It has no appeal to their taste buds. They're not going to touch that stuff. That's how sinners are with God. They don't want a holy and good and just God. They want to be left alone, don't they? They don't want Him. They don't choose what is good. They choose what is attractive and appealing to the nature. That's the sin. That's the chocolate cake. And it's interesting in light of this morning's sermon, you know, they'll blame God when they get the sealed judgments. Where was God when this happened? But they want to be left alone when everything's going well. They don't want God to intrude on their lives, do they? Will God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Certainly not. He is terribly angry about the sin we are born with, as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, He punishes them now and in eternity. He has declared, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them." Well, there it is. You know, we studied the sealed judgments this morning, and maybe you struggled a little bit with, you know, why is God unleashing that kind of fury on this world? Here you go. God is terribly angry about the sin we're born with, as well as everything that we keep compiling in our lives. Sin upon sin upon sin. This is total depravity, and because He is so supreme just and holy, and He cannot tolerate one sin, He is going to punish that sin, because He has declared His standard is what? Perfection. That's why in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, He was giving the law. He put it right in the middle of that when Jesus was reemphasizing the weight of the law to the Pharisees who had merely externalized it, you know. He says, be perfect. Your heavenly Father is perfect. And the declaration throughout the Old Testament was, anyone who does not abide by some things, all things, written in the book of the law, we studied Exodus, to do them, anyone who doesn't do that is cursed. That is a strong statement, isn't it? You're cursed. And as a just judge, because He's so supreme just, He will punish them now. Seal judgments, right? That's what's falling. And in eternity. And so we can never wink at sin. As difficult as it is today, we've got people who say, I don't want to hear about that, and I'm going to reference in the sermon. You say to people who don't want to hear about sin and want their ears tickled, you will never understand grace. You will never appreciate grace because you're still too puffed up in yourself. But wait a minute. Isn't God also merciful? God is certainly merciful. But He is also just. His justice demands that sin committed against His supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul. So that is what Jesus was constantly talking about a whole lot. He was talking about the final judgment to come that was declared in the Garden of Eden, that all those who break His law are cursed. And not only do you suffer in bodily death, but also eternal death. Notice what it says there, eternal punishment of body and soul. Now, you understand how the next question, you know, we're going to come to, how do we escape this judgment and return to God's favor? And this is what we preach every single Sunday. This is what we teach in the Christian church. This is the Christian gospel. The only way to escape is to have a mediator, is to have a Savior who takes on the full weight of that law for you and lives it perfectly and dies so that you can live. You'll never appreciate that until you put your face down and realize just how despairingly your state is, so despairing before this holy God. Then you can turn away from yourself and look to the perfect mediator. Let's sing to Him tonight.